Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 to 10. Brothers, if someone has caused in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself, without comparing himself to anybody else, for each one should carry his own load. Anyone who receives instruction in the word must share all good things with his instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers.
Well, let's pray, shall we, as we look at those words. So, Father, we pray as we look together at these words from the Bible, that you would set our hearts on your goodwill for us. And we pray, Lord, whatever our current, however our walks with you are at the moment, that you'd be growing us and moving us on in all that we know and love of you. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, well, here's just a question for us as we begin, and it's what is God's calling for us as his people at the moment? So here we are in another lockdown, and this lockdown feels harder than the first one, and the news is even more bleak than before. What is God's calling for us as his people? Well, have a look on your service sheet. The answer to that, by the way, is lots of different things. But I think the thing we're going to look at today is a really important one. And we're going to read it out together. What is God's calling for us? Let's read together verses 9 to 10. It's on our service sheets. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Now let's just pause, have a think about those words, and just have a think about what that might mean for you. So what is God's will for us? Let's read it again. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Now let me ask another question, and this is just one for you to be honest about. How does it make you feel when you hear those words read from God's word to you? How does it actually make you feel? Okay, this is God's will for us to do good to all people, especially to your church family. How does it make you feel? Well, some of us probably are thinking, yes, I'm feeling inspired. That's exactly what we should be doing. Perhaps some of us, and I put myself in this category, think something a bit more like, well, that's a great idea, but I'm feeling pretty weary myself, and to be honest, it's all I can do to stop the wheels falling off in my own life at the moment and to stop myself from sinking. So the idea of now also thinking about doing good to a lot of other people seems perhaps a bit overwhelming. Perhaps those verses actually make us feel like a bit of a failure as we engage with all the ways we could have done and all the ways that we that we've failed to perhaps. Perhaps we think, yes, those verses resonate with me, but there are two words particularly that resonate with me, and they are the words weary and give up. That's exactly how I feel, weary and give up. And yet, what I hope we'll see just for a few moments together is that these verses actually set for us a liberating and achievable vision for all of us as God's people, okay? From the youngest of us to the oldest of us. And actually, if we can set our hearts on this together over the coming months, I think we'll find it hugely beneficial. But let's think through these verses. We're going to do it by asking two questions. Okay, here's the first question we need to think through together. How? So how can we actually do this together? Well, have a look at verse 7 and 8 with me. And as we read, see if you can spot what are the two things that we can live to please. What are the two things that we can live to please? Let's read verse 7. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Did anyone see it? What were the two things we can live to please? The first thing, the flesh. And the second thing, the Spirit. Okay, now the flesh, that's just talking about our kind of default sinful nature. Okay, this is the part of us that actually just wants to live for ourselves, shut God and his commandments out, and just do what is easiest. This is path of least resistance. That's living to please the flesh. But there's another way for Christian believers, because by grace, we have received the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so now Christians can live to please the Spirit. Now, here's the thing. How can we do good to all people and especially to Christian believers? How can we do that? Well, we can only do it by the power of the Holy Spirit at work in us. There was a time when I was a bachelor, and this was probably about 10 years ago, and I lived in a great little flat by myself. And let me tell you about some of my routines as a bachelor, my cleaning routines. I think the shower got maybe a clean every 2 months or so. I used to kind of scrape the green mold off the kind of white sealant at the bottom. I would change my sheets once a term. Or for those of you who don't work in terms, that's 3 times a year, which I thought was perfectly reasonable. A Hoover would go around, I don't know, maybe every couple of months or something. Now, let me tell you what happened when I got married to Lucy. Everything changed. Okay, when Lucy moved in, well, you probably can imagine the kind of differences on some of those fronts. Now, on a much more significant level, when someone becomes a Christian, the Holy Spirit, God himself, moves in with us and changes everything. So in Galatians, we've not got it printed on your service sheets, Paul has been spelling out exactly what happens when the Holy Spirit moves in to our lives. This happens whenever anyone trusts in Jesus. If I can find the right verse. So verse 16, Paul says, so I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Do you remember? The flesh or the Spirit? Well, the Spirit gives us power to fight against the sinful nature. That's because of what the Holy Spirit does in our lives. So verse 22 says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So the Holy Spirit grows Christ in us. So do you remember the question? How do we do good to all people? Okay, we cannot do it by ourselves. We cannot do it just by our own willpower. We have to do it in the strength that the Holy Spirit gives. We watched a film recently called About Time. It's a romantic comedy, which is another thing that came into my life after getting married to Lucy. But has anyone else watched About Time? Okay, well, the concept is pretty simple. It's a guy who can magically kind of go back in time, and his dad's got the same ability. It's a kind of just weird genetic thing. So his dad gives him this advice. He says, look, here's what you need to do. You live every day once, and then you just don't go back any further than a day. Just go back to the start of the day and live it again a second time. And it kind of shows a film of him doing this. And the first time, you know, he's a bit angry towards his wife and his kids. He's a bit grumpy towards his colleagues. He makes some bad choices. And then he gets to the end of the day and he magically goes back to the beginning of the day. And of course, second time round, you know, he's kind to his wife. He's good to his kids. He sees the positive in everything. And he gets to the end of the day. And the kind of the punchline of the film, he gets to the end, he says, I realize I don't even need to go back in time. I just lived the first time round with that kind of positive mental attitude. And the idea is that all you've got to do, right, to do good to all people, all you've got to do is just have the right mental attitude. But here's the problem, right? We all know that it's not as easy as that, is it? Because we all know that there's something in us that actually, when it comes to it, makes that so much harder. It's what the Bible calls the flesh or the sinful nature. Okay, sin is too deep for us just to have the right attitude and sail through life doing good. We can't do it, which is why we must rely on the power of the Holy Spirit. Galatians as a whole has been saying this. It's been saying, look, you can't live life by just obeying the law, by just doing the things that God lays out for us, because actually our sin is too deep. We need a savior. And so Galatians 3 verse 13 says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. He paid the price for us on the cross. We can't do it ourselves. We need a savior. And then he pours his spirit into our lives to actually empower us to begin to change and to pursue what is genuinely good. So how is it possible for us to do good? We cannot do it in our own strength. We must rely on the Holy Spirit. Now, this is good news, because anyone who trusts in Jesus has the power of the Holy Spirit at work in you. So this means that when we read, do good to all people, that's not wishful thinking anymore if you're a Christian. That is actually possible, even in the middle of a pandemic. And that's because it's not ultimately down to you. But there is one thing that we're called to do. Do you see it in verse 8? So, to please the Spirit. Now, what does that mean? That's saying you've got the Holy Spirit in you. He is working to grow love and joy and peace and patience. He's going to empower you to do good to all people. You just need to say, Lord, that's what I want as well. That's all you have to do. That's what it means to sow according to the Spirit, to set your desires where his desires are, and then he will empower that in you. Lord, so when you wake up every day in this pandemic, wouldn't it be great? You can wake up in the morning and say, Lord, I am too weak to do good to other people, to keep seeking that. I'm finding it too hard. It's too hard for me. It's too difficult, Lord. But your Spirit is in me, so please help me today to do good. How is it possible? Well, it's possible by the power of the Holy Spirit in us. And don't forget the harvest that's coming. Verse 9, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Okay, it's not that we earn our salvation, but it's if we persevere in trusting Jesus and walking in the Spirit, that by grace we have a wonderful future to look forward to. And so in the sorrows of today, remember the joys that are soon to be ours, and keep doing good. Okay, so that's the first question. How? How do we actually do this? Well, that's how. And here's the second question, which we'll finish with. Okay, what does it actually look like? Okay, so if this is how we're going to do good to all people, what does it actually look like? Well, have a look at verse 10. I love this. Therefore, this is the big summary. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Do you see there are two different groups here? There's all people and there's the family of believers. Okay, so we are to be opportunists for good wherever we are, and specialists for good in our church family. Opportunists for good wherever we are. When we talk about opportunism, have you read some of the articles on this? You talk of kind of businesses at the moment who've been opportunists with the pandemic and have kind of somehow managed to take the situation and bring it about for their own, for the advancement of their own kind of business or profits or whatever. And opportunists, you're often thinking about how I can advance myself. Well, wouldn't it be amazing if we were opportunists to do good for others? Okay, so whatever opportunity comes up, we're thinking, how can I, as a follower of Jesus, do good for others at the moment? How can I be an opportunist for the good of others? Let me ask a question. What are the opportunities for you at the moment? What are the opportunities among your family, among your non-Christian friends and contacts? What are the opportunities to do good among your neighbours, people on your street at the moment? Is it a doorstep chat with someone? Is it dropping something over? Is it just picking up the phone a little bit more? You know, I love this is Charles Wesley. He said, do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can. That's his summary of these verses. I thought that was great. So be opportunists for good wherever you are, but be specialists for good among your church family. Do you see that again in verse 10? As we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. Isn't that wonderful? Family. That's what we are. Friends online, friends here in the building, those over in our family chat, we are family. And therefore we have responsibility for each other. You can see actually at the beginning of the chapter some of those particular responsibilities we have for other believers. You see chapter 6 verse 1, brothers and sisters, this is fellow believers, if someone is caught in sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently, but watch yourselves or you'll also be tempted. So we have a spiritual responsibility for each other. We know how poisonous and destructive sin is, and so we watch out for each other. But we do so with gentleness rather than judgmentalism, and with humility, knowing that we too are prone to getting things wrong as much as anyone else. Okay, when was the last time you took spiritual responsibility for someone in our church family, doing good for them spiritually? But also verse 2, practical responsibility. I love this. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. You know, all of us here have two things. All of us have burdens, and all of us have each other. And God's desire is that those two things are matched up, our burdens with each other. Carry each other's burdens. There'll be times where we have burdens that others need to carry. And there'll be times where we're able to carry some of the burdens of other people as well. And they could be all kinds of burdens, financial burdens. And so we generously give to alleviate the financial hardship of others. Could be emotional burdens. And so we pick up the phone, we just take the time to listen and listen and listen and keep listening. Could be relational burdens. And so we two people are in conflict, we bring them together, we help them to reconcile. Could be practical burdens. And so we just help with the practical tasks that need to be done at the moment. But if we're family, we have a special responsibility for each other spiritually and practically. And as he says in verse 2, in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Now in chapter 5, verse 14, he's saying that love your neighbor fulfills the law of Christ. But that's so big and conceptual, isn't it? Love your neighbor, bear each other's burdens. That's what it looks like practically in day-to-day life. So we need to finish. What is God calling us to do over these very difficult months of national lockdown number 2? Let's read those verses again, verses 9 to 10. We'll read them together. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Let me just finish by telling one story, if I can find it, and then giving one little encouragement as we close. Okay. Oh, here they are. Okay, this is an email I got from friends of mine who are missionaries in Kosovo at the moment. Life is pretty tough for them. And they said, I'd love to share Donna's story with you. She showed up at the church one week with her three kids, aged 12, 10, 6, and 6. She grew up in extreme poverty and was taken out of school after 4 years. When she was 18, her parents arranged, probably in return for cash, for her to marry a 52-year-old man. The next 10 years were hard ones for enduring his abusive behavior, including when he made her give away her second child to a childless distant relative. 2 years ago, he died, leaving her to raise the children on 125 euros a month that she receives from the government. Bear in mind, 200 euros a month is a minimum amount for having enough food and heating. When we met Donna, she was in serious debt. And now listen to this. By paying off her debt and helping her find a very part-time job, we have been able to help her feel less stressed about the future and ensure that she doesn't run out of food halfway through each month. But the most important thing is that by starting a relationship with her, we are in a position to support her in the long term as she tries to climb out of generational poverty. Donna's greatest advantage is that when she was 6, she decided she wanted to belong to Jesus and is really open to growing her relationship with him. Now, as I read that and I was preparing this talk, I was like, well, there is an example of someone who just in a particular situation has chosen to do good. Okay, now, here's the challenge for us. It's so easy when we are confronted with so much that we could do. We could go home and think, there's so much potential good that I could do. We get paralyzed by it. Well, can I encourage us? Don't get paralyzed by the infinite possibilities of the good you could do. Instead, do one good thing. Just choose one and then do it. And then once you've done that, do the next one that the Lord brings along. And then the next one. And do not become weary in doing good. Well, listen, I'm going to pray now. And I think it would be great, just as I pray, I'll leave a bit of a gap as well. Why don't you just pray that the Holy Spirit would bring to mind one person who he would love us to do good towards this coming week. And why don't you just pray to him that you would be able to do that in obedience to his word today. And for those of you online, why don't you take a moment to chat about this with each other afterwards as well. Let's pray. So Father, we thank you for the clarity of your word. And we pray so much that with the power of the Holy Spirit at work in us, we would do good. And that you would help us to do good to all people, and especially to our family of Christian believers here, and our church family. And now just a moment of quiet as we pray ourselves for the Lord to reveal areas where he wants us to do good in his name this coming week.